What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. Meet your man, MG Marcus Grant. And I have a friend in the studio.
Woo-hoo,
welcome, friends. Cynthia Freeland. It's good to see you here again.
Oh, my goodness. It's good to see you, Marcus.
I know. Like, you were here. Like, when I first kind of rebooted this thing, you came in and you sat in with me,
and
it was
then
great.
And you didn't invite me back to
I know. That's totally an unforced error on my part that you weren't here during the season. But it's good to have you here, in week 17.
You know, good holiday season is family time. We're family.
Exactly. So, yeah, Michael Fabiano is off in New York. Graham Barfield is back home in Atlanta. I think our man Edward L. Murphy is back home in New York enjoying the holidays. But behind the glass, we've got Kent Brown. So, Kent what's
Brown.
Up, man? Good to have you.
How are you guys? I'm a little under the weather with this cold, so I feel like you probably don't want to hear this voice for most of the podcast.
As long as you stay behind that glass, keep your germs over there, everything's good. But we appreciate you sitting in and helping out with us. It is week 17, so we'll talk a little bit about week 17 for those of you who are still playing, whether it's a season-long points league, if you're playing daily, what have you. We'll give you some of our picks for week 17. And then I'll go over some of my favorite moments from 2017. And also, I have a preview of what's going to happen for the entire 2019 season. So if you don't want to know, it's kind of a spoiler alert. You can cut off the last couple minutes of this podcast, or if you just want to win your league in advance, stay tuned because I'll tell you everything that's going to happen in 2019. It's going to be great. In the meantime, let's do some news.
Through the news.
All right, a couple of quick headlines. The Rams could sit Todd Gurley again in week 17. I mean, Cynthia, they don't necessarily need him, I would think, to beat the 49ers, though they do need to get a win. I would guess this means more of the CJ Anderson show, though, if he doesn't go.
I'm 100% with you on that. I think that, look, giving Gurley a little bit more rest seems like a good idea in terms of playoff strategy.
Right.
So even if he suits up, even if he's available, I wouldn't expect him to play anywhere near the complement of snaps you'd want from him.
No, I think he gets a couple of snaps. He's probably done by halftime, at the
puts
latest.
Puts on those sunglasses that we saw,
He just hangs out on the sideline. Right. So, by the way, we had CJ Anderson on Monday's podcast. If you want to go back, you can listen to that. He talks about his big week 16 against the Cardinals. Steelers running back James Conner has a full practice. This is kind of the flip side here, right? Because the Steelers have to win. They still need some help. They've got to get a win. I would think if James Conner's ready to go, he's going to get a full workload this week.
Yes. The Steelers have to win, and then they have to sit around and cross their fingers and toes, and then they have to make the Browns beat the Ravens. So they're really going to need James Conner to, keep them from feeling so much anxiety.
Yeah, so if he goes, that sort of wrecks anybody who's maybe hoping to play Jalen Samuels this week. That's going to throw that off a little bit. But keep an eye on that as we get to Sunday. Finally, Blake Bortles has been named the starting quarterback for the Jags season finale.
Let's go, Blake Bortles.
Jason Mendoza in The Good Place is really fired up about this. I don't know how much anybody else is all excited about it. I don't know. This feels more like the Jaguar kind of showcasing Bortles for whatever his next chapter is. Right?
He's going to be backup.
I mean, he's not going to be
somewhere.
But not with the Jaguars, right?
No, they're like, hey, J.J. Watt. It's like throwing a little piece of meat out there, like holding him up as bait. That's what I think.
That's kind of how it's going to go. And I don't know that this changes the way you feel about any of the Jaguars this week.
Nope, does not.
All right, there you go. Hey, this is a quick news segment. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right, a quick look at week 17 for those of you who care to dabble in that sort of thing. Went through and picked a few categories. Cynthia and I will give you some names for in case you are playing daily leagues or the like. First thing, your sure thing in week 17 is
Patrick Mahomes.
Shocking. He's been a sure thing all year, pretty much.
Yeah, sure thing. Oakland. They need to win to lock up that home field advantage all the way through the playoffs. So they're not going to – do I think it's going to be like this gigantic, 54-point game?
Right.
No. But I do think it's going to be a huge Patrick Mahomes. Like, get those short, easy passes. Get that stuff going. Get in the good rhythm so that you can take the week off and chill. before you get into the playoffs.
Pretty much. I'm going with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes.
Similar situation.
You need to win.
You need to win. They're playing the Bengals defense, which has been sort of a layup for a lot of quarterbacks this year. And I think you want to make sure you pick guys that have a good chance of playing all four quarters, because a lot of these other starters, if their team has nothing to play for, could shut it down at halftime, and that's a thing that would kind of screw up your whole day.
That'd be no fun.
No fun at all. The Week 17 best value, maybe the guy that isn't necessarily high on the radar but could perform, your best value for Week 17 is?
Jeff Wilson.
All right. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Can you run on the Rams?
Sure.
Oh, you can. As a good guy, you can.
Yes.
Seems like a good value proposition.
You absolutely can.
Look, with Matt Breida out, I hate injuries, but injury replacements are a huge part of how you get good value. And injury replacements here, Jeff Wilson has an opportunity. Their whole offense, the 49ers' whole offense, is predicated on what? Oh, outside zone rushing.
Yep.
Good. Let's do it. Jeff Wilson, let's go.
You talk about injury replacements, and that's why I'm going with Brian Hill, who I know a lot of people may not know the name Brian Hill. Went to Wyoming, plays for the Atlanta Falcons. He took over last week when Tevin Coleman got hurt and ended up with 115 rushing yards.
Do you know the Wyoming fight song?
I do not.
He's a highfalutin, rootin', tootin' son of a gun from old Wyoming. Why? There you go.
Why do you know that?
I just did.
That's
amazing. One of my friends was a cheerleader at Wyoming.
Okay.
And so she taught me the whole cheer. I can do the whole thing. You can't see us right now because this is a podcast, but you can just imagine. It's the most amazing cheer you've ever seen.
I'm blown away by the fact that you knew that much of the fight song, because I had no idea.
Highfalutin is the best.
That is. Highfalutin, rootin', tootin'. That's amazing. Uh-huh.
Son of a gun.
But, he went to Wyoming. He played for the Falcons. He's got a very good matchup against a Panther defense that has struggled against the run this year.
Yeah, they're allowing like 8 yards per rush on first down, so you know.
It's incredible. And so I would think that Tevin Coleman is limited, may not play at all. Brian Hill is going to see a very heavy workload this week. Plus, I think they want to see what they've got with him heading into next year. Finally, the Week 17 trap play, the guy that maybe looks good on paper, but will probably burn you. And for you, that is?
Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
You look at him and you're like, you know what? There's no one on this offense to trust. It's Blake Bortles' back's offense. Okay, well, they're going to have so much volume for Leonard Fournette. Well, right. They may, from a football perspective, you got to try to keep rushing on first down, because otherwise the threat of the read option just totally goes away if the rush is not an actual football option. But he's going to see nothing but stacked boxes. He's going to see a horrible opportunity. Do you know that the Texans on first down, they're allowing sub 2.3 yards per rush.
Wow.
That's horrible.
Not good. That's not good.
Don't do that. Don't go there. I don't care if the volume seems awesome. It's not a Leonard Fournette matchup. Uh-uh.
Yeah, the 2018 season for Leonard Fournette has been just a vexing one.
Is it because of the beard? Like, I think that he needs to get his beard situation right, because that was the whole thing. Beard's the key.
That's note to self for drafting next year. Check a guy's beard maintenance.
That's right.
So,
my trap
play is Chris Carson.
100%.
Not because anything bad is going to happen to him per se, except for the fact that the Seahawks don't really have a lot to game this week. They're facing the Cardinals, who have a terrible, terrible run defense. But I feel like this is a game where they rest Chris Carson for the playoffs. They give a heavy dose to Mike Davis. They give a lot to Rashad Penny.
I think it's like Rashad Penny goes for 150 yards.
Right.
Something wacky like that.
That very well could happen
Chris
this
Carson,
week. That
the
Chris Carson.
Was so,
like,
so good.
If you're playing Chris Carson, you'd better hope that he gets a touchdown on the opening drive or something like that, because you may not see him too much after that. So I feel like Rashad Penny could blow up this week.
I think it's like a Rashad Davis. Penny, like, he's our first round pick. And then they'll be like, yeah, well, he had that 150 yard game.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it was.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing.
And they're going to use that, by the way, to give Rashad Penny the starting job next year. That's
100%.
How it's going to work. It's
100%.
Absolutely going.
There's
to work.
Like a little like roll of the dice, and Pete Carroll's like, you're up,
you're in.
Next, son.
You're in.
Yep.
It's your turn. So there we go. There's our Week 17 daily and season-long picks for you. Enjoy that. I still say friends don't let friends play Week 17. But for those of you out there, you intrepid souls doing it, good on you. So before I let you go, because I know you were a busy woman, you and I were doing a Facebook show.
We are. We're doing. I'm so.
It's going to be fun.
We are on three things together.
I know.
This is
great. This
happy
is like,
days.
You know?
Merry Christmas to all.
Absolutely. So before I let you go, though, I had a few questions. Just kind of some general NFL 2018 questions. Kind of wanted to kinda, you know, get esoteric about. My first one. What was your favorite NFL thing? Fantasy or otherwise, it could be a player, a team, a particular game, but your favorite NFL thing from this 2018 season?
I liked how many rookie running backs were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you kind of think, like, oh, rookie running backs, we don't know what to expect. Like, of course, Saquon, everyone knew he was this, you know, this gigantic thing, right? Like, we all knew he was a big deal, but, like, did anyone expect there to be Nick Chubb, Sony Michel. By the way, Philip Lindsay, not even on anyone's radar. Kerryon right. Johnson. Like, there are a significant number of rookie running backs. You're like, wow, like, the position's back. It's back, fam. Like, because, you know, for a while, the zero running back strategy, whatever you wanted to talk about. But these rookie guys are really performing, and they have really nice high trajectories going forward.
I think that was a lot of fun too, because I think we came into the season not sure about some of these rookie running. We knew Saquon
right,
for sure.
Put that one over here. But we knew about Zeke. You know what I mean? Like
right.
You know about the really special ones. But did you really think at this time this year would be like, you and I fought physical fight over who was going to for Fantasy Live today? Who was going to get to talk about Nick Chubb?
Right.
You had him. I had him. You emailed first. You got to talk about Nick Chubb. I didn't get to talk about Nick Chubb. I was sad. I had to talk about Sony Michel because I talked about Kerryon Johnson somewhere else because there were so many options.
Right. Yeah. I just, you know, and it was funny because, like, coming into the year, I wasn't sure about Kerryon Johnson. Like, I didn't know how much of an impact he could make. He turned out to be really good until he got hurt, unfortunately. You mentioned Philip Lindsay, who just kind of appeared out of nowhere.
Rashad Penny is probably thing next season.
Right. I mean, we were talking about Royce Freeman, who never really got his opportunity.
Just kidding.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. I will say, sort of maybe as a corollary to that, I just enjoyed watching the creativity of NFL offenses, right? I mean, obviously Andy Reid in Kansas City, Sean McVay with the Rams were sort of the headliners in that. But, you know, we saw it happen in Cleveland after Freddie Kitchens.
You saw it happen in Miami.
Happen in Miami,
right?
You know?
Tannehill not so good. We're going to just, like, do a whole bunch of gadget plays to Jakeem Grant. Is that a thing? Yeah.
I mean, we saw a little bit of it in Baltimore when Lamar Jackson took over at quarterback. You know, it just was fun to watch offense in the NFL. Right. So that was kind of fun. I really enjoyed that. And, you know, I think we'll look back 10, 20 years from now, and I think we'll look back at the 2018 season as sort of when this change started and how the game was being played and how it just, like, you know, guys like Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff and what have you just took this thing to the next level. That was a lot of fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
What is one thing in fantasy football you would either change or get rid of in 2019?
Kneel downs, still the same thing. That's anything. For me, the best part about fantasy is, like, having it relate to reality. And if a kneel down is strategically the best thing to happen, you shouldn't get penalized for it. You should, you know, like, these are not things that make sense.
Right.
Logically.
Right. No, I get that. Because, I mean, that's sort of my, along the lines of, and it's starting to change, of having your defense get penalized for a pick six. Right? Your defense is standing on the sideline while this is happening. Like, the quarterback throws a pick six, and somehow it would ding your defense. So that's starting to change. That makes me happy. I want us to embrace kickers. I want us to get rid of this banned kicker argument.
Oh, I like kickers.
I like kickers.
That's not even a question for me.
Right. I know it's like gaining
steam. I
do
think, though, that there should be like certain things. Like, so if it's a close kick and you miss it, that's different than, like, you miss a 60-yarder.
You shouldn't get penalized for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you're not really supposed to make that. Like, that's like a, well, let's see what happens. Let's see
the
Hail Mary,
right?
Like, no, but I think it should be a bit more contextualized. But no way. It's part of the game. Special teams is a thing.
It is a thing.
You ask special teams. Ask the Ravens. How did John Harbaugh get his job? Special teams.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I feel like all this kicker slander needs to go by the wayside, and we should learn to embrace them. They're fun. They're great. All right, last thing. What are you most looking forward to in either the NFL or fantasy football next season?
So – Here's how I feel about this draft class that we're looking at. Seems to be very defensive heavy draft, right?
Yes.
Like, everyone say, like, last year we were like, oh my God, we have all these quarterbacks, blah, 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 blah. True, we did have a lot of quarterbacks.
Right.
This one seems to be a defensive one. So I'm actually looking. So if you kind of look at the track, we're going esoteric on you here.
Right.
So you talk about, like, you know, new quarterbacks, this explosion of creative offenses. You know what that's done? That's made the safety position really, really important going forward. And by the way, there were some good safeties that came out last season. Derwin James, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. And then you got this whole defensive draft coming up. So I'm seeing, like, in this chess game of football we're playing, I'm really psyched to see, like, who's actually smart from a coaching perspective. Like, yo, I got the antidote to what you got. Andy Reid, you want to try to trick me with Patrick Mahomes doing crazy things with his left hand? Yeah, that didn't get to work because I have a nasty safety that's going to shut you down. So I'm looking for the check, you know, the chess match that goes between the two. I'm looking forward to really a lot better defense offense next season.
You know, one of the things along those lines, you know, I'm waiting for more teams, and we saw the Seahawks do it during the Legion of Boom run, is go with, like, the tall defensive back, right?
Yeah.
Because teams are getting tall wide receivers, right? You've got, you know, Julio Jones and Michael Thomas.
I really wish Akello Witherspoon, who's really good for the Niners, but he can't stay healthy. I want him to, like, take the Richard Sherman diet and, like be like, hey, you're tall and lanky. Hey, you're tall and lanky. I'm going to do what you used to do.
They could be the Spider-Man pointing game, you know? Like, it's two Spider-Man points.
And I would like to see that, especially in the West, NFC West, because I think that that's a really, like, how are you going to stop Robert Woods? Oh, well, bang him up with a giant defensive back.
Long,
let's do
this
that.
Long-armed cornerback or whatever.
Yeah, bat you down.
Yeah,
right?
I'm just waiting for that. I will say the one thing that I'm really looking forward to next year, though, is I just want to see the next evolution of these young quarterbacks, right? I mean, obviously Patrick Mahomes was huge this year. I think Deshaun Watson, who had a really good year, I think he's ready to go even next level next year.
Let's get him an O-line.
Give him an O-line, you know? You know, what happens, you know, with Baker Mayfield? What, you know, the evolution of Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson? I mean, like, so many of these young quarterbacks. And it comes at a great time, right? It comes at a time where, you know, Tom Brady is starting to decline a little bit. You know, Drew Brees, for as good as he is, can't play forever. Philip Rivers still, you know, he still has a few years left, but his time, you figure, is coming soon. So as we're losing sort of a generation of quarterbacks, it's nice to know that we've got a group of guys who can come in and keep this thing going
and
for
a
while.
They're going to change the way it looks, too, because no one's a pure pocket passer.
Right.
No one's got this, like, you know, there's no profile-wise, there's no Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, they're all a little bit different, and they're all evolving to this, like, really, like, it's more exciting to watch. That's what I'm telling you. Defense has got to get good. I'll see who the good coaches are. We'll see who they actually are.
We're going to find out, absolutely. Cynthia, I appreciate you hanging out with
us. I will see you for a Facebook show.
I know, right? I'm saying goodbye. Like, I'm not going to see you in, like, you know, an hour from now, basically.
Exactly.
Hey, but appreciate you. Happy New Year.
Yay.
And we will do this again. I promise next year you will be
in
more.
Yeah, anytime you want.
This was an unforced error on my part. Appreciate it.
We're good. Later.
Thank you to Cynthia for hanging out as we looked a little bit at the 2018 season. But I went back, because, you know, it's the end of the year, and everybody does their end of the year kind of best ofs thing. So I went through and I picked out three of the bigger storylines in fantasy, or maybe not the biggest storylines, but some of the things that I thought were kind of key as we went along on this journey during the year, and just some things that I sort of like. So it's not necessarily a rhyme or reason to it, other than I'm hosting this podcast, and this is how I wanted to do things. So the third one came with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley were let go in Cleveland. You know, because before we started building the legend of Baker Mayfield, we actually sat and watched the downfall of Hugh Jackson. And it's funny because that Browns coaching shakeup was a big key to turning around their season. We greeted it with the same level of excitement as finding an extra French fry at the bottom of your burger bag. The Browns have fired Hugh Jackson, their head coach, after a 3-36-1 record over the past two-plus seasons. They also went out and fired offensive coordinator Todd Haley. Now, the second one to me seems like maybe the bigger surprise. I think we all saw the Hugh Jackson firing coming. That's kind of been a long time coming. But I think the initial impression was, well, they'd fire him and make Todd Haley the offensive coordinator. That's not the case. Todd Haley is gone as well. And I think we saw Freddie Kitchens is now being elevated to interim offensive coordinator at the moment. Greg Williams has been named the interim head coach. Fabs, I don't even know where to start with this. I don't even know what this means at this point.
I have no idea. At least they didn't hire Jeff Fisher to be the head coach and Mike McCoy to be the offensive coordinator.
Yet.
That would have just been bad in reality and fantasy. Freddie Kitchens, a running backs coach, so we would figure that maybe he's going to lean more on the run with Nick Chubb. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, things are moving quickly in Cleveland, and we will see what happens in terms of its effect on the offense and how these players sort of start to perform, because, I mean, you know, Baker Mayfield has not been a consistent fantasy player, which I don't think we expected him to be. He's a rookie. Nick Chubb, bad matchup last week, but we would think that he's going to be involved week in and week out. I mean, and Jarvis Landry, I mean, he was always going to see regression based on what he did last year in terms of the touchdowns. But he's been very unreliable this season, and, I mean, this is one of the best pass catchers in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he has been. He's been fantastic, you know, in terms of targets and what he does with them. I mean, Graham, obviously they cleared the deck. They traded Carlos Hyde to get Nick Chubb in there. Now, as Fabs mentioned, a running backs coach takes over as a pass catcher. I mean, does this mean we can start to expect more from Nick Chubb? I mean, I really don't know. I'm still trying to process what this whole thing is doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if anyone was paying attention during the offseason at any point, they knew Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley would not work well together.
Oh, yeah.
And lo and behold, it only
Shocking.
Took 8 weeks for it to turn into a total freaking dumpster fire. Yeah, look, I mean, they get the Chiefs and the Falcons before their week 11 bye. So, I mean, two fantastic matchups there. Nick Chubb has 18 carries in back-to-back games since Hyde was traded. He's going to be low in RB2. The Kansas City Chiefs obviously aren't great in their run defense, and the Falcons have lost a lot of key players. But, yeah, I honestly don't think this changes much about how we evaluate their offense for fantasy just because Haley has been so predictable. Hugh hasn't really done much of anything in his tenure there, so I can't really say we changed too much.
Oh, man. Yeah, we sort of – I won't say we whiffed on it, but, yeah, let's get more excited. I mean, it turns out Baker Mayfield may be one of the guys that we're really getting excited about next year. Nick Chubb looked fantastic down the stretch. He ends up as the RB14 on the season, and we were sort of just like, meh, about the whole thing. So, yeah, that was kind of a – I won't say a swing and a miss. Maybe a swing and a fouled off to the left. I don't know. The next biggest story, and maybe one of the biggest stories, not just in fantasy, but in the NFL all year, the Le'Veon Bell holdout. I mean, Lev Bell and the Steelers basically called each other's bluff this year, and I don't know that any of us actually saw that coming. And you know, all season long, no matter how much Lev delayed his return, we all just knew. I mean, we just knew that he eventually had to come back by like week 10. But what if he didn't?
From the minute that they couldn't come to a deal, it was pretty much felt that he would show up the first week of the season, exactly as he had in the past. Then he didn't. Then it was, maybe he's waiting for the bye week. Then it wasn't the bye week. Now it's, maybe it's waiting for the very last day that he can possibly show up, which is November 13th. So the CBA says that if you want to be eligible to play in any one season, you need to arrive by the Tuesday after the 10th week. So that would be Tuesday, November 13th. And now, literally today, I've decided that he really may not ever show up. And this is what's so crazy about this, because so many things have been reported that actually aren't really correct. And that's just because the CBA is that complicated. But that was a narrative, that was a storyline earlier in the year that he needed to be on the active roster for 6 games to accrue a season. He's already accrued enough seasons. He's already got the 5 years. So that's not the issue. He cannot be tagged with the same tag more than once, or he can't, meaning the second tag. Mm-hmm. So he was already tagged one time last year. Then this year he was tagged a second time. If he doesn't show up, that doesn't mean that he gets the second tag. It means that now he has the third year of the tag. And so there's really the only reason for him to show up this year is to A, make some money, and B, show that, remind everyone that he really is this truly, utterly dynamic, or as his agent said, once-in-a-generation player, because the numbers that James Conner is putting up are certainly laying lie to that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, this was one that really shook up the world when it came to fantasy, especially for a lot of folks who spent a very high draft pick on Le'Veon Bell. But we should thank him, because it certainly introduced us to James Conner as a real fantasy factor this season. And now we get to spend a whole offseason spitting out hot takes on where Le'Veon Bell might end up and what it means for the team that he lands with and what it means for his fantasy prospects. Oh, it's going to be a long and frustrating spring and summer. But, man, this was one that nobody really saw coming, and it had a lot to do with how the fantasy season played. My number one thing from the year, Josh Gordon getting traded. Now, after a strong finish to 2017, there was a belief that Josh Gordon would be fully back in 2018. Things, you know, obviously didn't quite work out that way. After nearly being released, Gordon ends up getting traded to the New England Patriots, which led us to probably the most spontaneous moment we've had on the show this year.
Not to cut off this segment, but Ian Rappaport, some news, guys, live news here. Patriots are getting close to a deal for Browns' Josh
Gordon.
Not official yet, but headed that way.
Why?
Why does it always go to the Patriots? Why?
Why?
It always goes to the Patriots. Always, 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 always.
Why?
This is why everyone who doesn't love the Patriots hates them.
Why?
There's pros and cons here, but I think the pros far outweigh the cons with this move. If it doesn't work out, what do the Patriots lose?
You're not
nothing.
You're not making me feel better about
nothing,
this.
Dude. I know, but you're not a Jets fan. You're not a
I'm tired of watching the Patriots win. Okay.
As a pen goes flying across the studio.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have to be neutral in this whole thing. I'm tired of watching the Patriots win. I'm tired of them being smarter than everybody in the league. I'm tired of the league letting themselves be outsmarted by this team. How? Because you know what's going to happen. They're going to make this deal, and Bill Belichick's going to give them a handful of damn magic beans, all right? They're going to give them some damn magic beans. The Browns are going to get a ho-ho and a 10 speed, and Josh Gordon's going to go to the damn playoffs, and we're going to do this again. I'm tired. I've had enough.
Yeah, okay, so things didn't quite work out the way we thought they would. Obviously, Josh Gordon having to step away for his mental health issues, and certainly wish him the best with that. But, man, at the moment, it just felt like the Patriots had gotten another one over on the rest of the NFL. And, yeah, so I overreacted a little bit. Sorry, not sorry. Hey, you know, we appreciate you listening, obviously, all 2018 season. And, you know, for those of us who are doing this, for those of you who love fantasy football, you know that it's pretty much just on to the next. Now, I don't put this out there because I just don't want people to know, but I do have a time machine, and I fast-forwarded 12 months from now. I have seen the future. I have sat in this very seat in December of 2019, and I saw everything that is going to happen with the 2019 fantasy season. So for those of you who just want it to be a surprise, who don't want any spoilers, you know, you can feel free to shut the podcast off now. I wish you nothing but happy tidings in the new year, and we'll get ready to see you in 2019. No harm, no foul if you want to just check out right now. But for those of you who want to get a leg up on what's going to happen with everything else in 2019, if you want to be better than your league mates, stick around because I've got the 2019 fantasy season in 60 seconds. Kent, give me that drum loop. All right, the preseason opens with debate over whether Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley, or Christian McCaffrey should go number one overall. Frank Gore, he's an RB4. Patrick Mahomes is still amazing. Baker Mayfield's better than we imagined, though you occasionally have to mute his name on Twitter. Nuke will be the first receiver taken, and there will be weeks when you wonder how he didn't go number one overall. Devontae Adams will catch 20 touchdowns because, oh yeah, the real Aaron Rodgers is back, and he's coming for his QB1 crown. Lev Bell's back as the first lieutenant of Captain Andrew Luck. The Jaguars' defense gets its mojo back, and you end up having to mute the words Jalen Ramsey on Twitter. Hey, Frank Gore's an RB3 now. Kickers are still a thing. Justin Tucker in the 12th is still your strategy. David Johnson's back. Larry Fitzgerald isn't. Josh Rosen is better. Ryan Fitzpatrick throws 4 touchdowns, but of course the week you start him, he throws 4 interceptions. The Devontae Parker breakout finally happens in Buffalo. For the 5th straight year, your friend took Phillip Rivers in the 10th. For the 5th straight year, she's going to make the playoffs. The team you built in August will look nothing like your December playoff team. Instead, it's a late afternoon waiver ad in week 16 that seals the championship. It's Frank Gore in the flex because Frank Gore will never die. On to 2020. Finally, as I wrap this one up, I really just kind of want to have a serious moment and just say thank you to so many of you out there. And I tweeted this on Thanksgiving, but I felt like I wanted to say it here on the podcast for all of you who listened. Those of you who've been listening to this show for a while know that this year we went through a major change, a major lineup change, and kind of a format change on the show. And I just wanted to be honest and say that there were moments where I didn't know how this thing was going to go. I didn't know if it was going to be a show worthy of what we had built before here in the past. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who stayed with us, all of you who kept listening, and all of you who, you know, hit me up on social media, email, text, what have you. I got a lot of encouraging words from a lot of you out there. Some of you I know personally, some of you I only know basically through Twitter or what have you, but I just want to let you guys know that all of that encouragement came at a time when I was really unsure about how this thing was going to go, and it was appreciated more than you'll ever know. And so I just want to say thank you to all of you. I appreciate all of you. We certainly couldn't do this without all of you. And, you know, hey, If we helped you in some way, that's awesome. If we entertained you in some way, that is equally awesome. And I just wish all of you the best in 2019, in fantasy and just in life in general. I certainly appreciate you. I love y'all and look forward to doing this for who knows how much longer. We're not done yet, so we're going to keep on going. So that's it. We are done. Appreciate all of you. Thanks to Cynthia Freeland for hanging in there. Thanks to Kent behind the glass, as always. And for one last time, because we are off on Monday. No New Year's Eve show for us. So for one last time in 2019, tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, you don't need a New Year's resolution if you're already perfect. We'll see you in 2019.